All right, let's go ahead and let's get started.
I think I'm live as well, am I?
You are live as
well.
Good morning, everyone. Good. Now, slowly, now that it's your second session today, the hangover's starting to wear off. We're feeling better? Not yet.
No.
Not enough alligator sausage last night for some of you?
That's it.
All right. My name is Stephen Rose. I am a... Need the clicker, yeah. We don't have one. We are clickerless. No, we've looked everywhere.
Unless someone's borrowed it, they're not borrowed it back.
Well, if somebody did, then they have a clicker that's kind of useless.
It's the...
All right, that's fine. We'll work without it, but if you run across one...
I'd run down and get one.
That would be great, thank you.
No
worries. We'll start without, but we'll get it to go. We have no clicker. Anyways, as I was saying, my name is Stephen Rose. I am a senior product marketing manager with the Windows BG. This is my 8th tech ed. But this is a brand new topic, so something I'm very, very excited to talk about. And with me is...
So I'm Ronnie Dockery, or Ronald Dockery. I joined the team about a month ago, my first tech ed. So it's been great fun. I videoed the queue yesterday for Surface. That was very interesting to see. Good enthusiasm there, but yeah, so I'm delighted to be here.
He has a very thick New York accent, so
oh, yeah.
If you have
yeah,
problems
I'm Irish,
understanding
actually, yeah,
him.
Yeah, I'm Irish. I came over about 2 years ago from the Irish office, and my kids have American accents, but I'm holding on to mine.
All right. So I had a very interesting conversation with some folks at the last Tech Ed. And they're saying, you know, with Windows 8 and all of this, how do we get that consistent and personal experience across multiple devices? There was a great Gartner study that came out that said the average IT pro is now needing to manage up to 3 devices and sometimes more per user, that they have a PC that often sits at their desk. They have a laptop, which they also have, which they will carry with them. They often have a tablet device or even a laptop that they have at home that's being managed, so it's 3-4. It's more than just having your background pattern. It's about ensuring that whatever document you work on at work, when you go to your tablet, it's there. When you go home, it's there. How do we get these files? How do we get the data? How do we get rid of the PST? Many of you, and I've chatted about deployment for years, have found great ways for you to go ahead and say, yeah, we can deploy a new PC. But what if I hand you a PC that's, you know, ready to domain join, it's got the image on it, and what if I told you could plug it in and within 10 minutes, everything that made that PC personal, your data, your documents, your personalization, all that stuff was immediately available on that device. And as you changed it on one, it went across all the others. And that became a really critical thing. So we sat down and started talking about really truly building a replaceable PC. That if a PC gets destroyed, if a PC gets damaged, that it doesn't make a difference, that you can throw it away. I have, over the last year or two, moved my documents into SkyDrive and SkyDrive Pro. I have moved to Exchange Online, so I no longer have a PST. Started using UEV, the User Experience Virtualization Tool, which means that if I change a setting in a document, it's going to go across all of my devices. I use the Windows Live account, which is the security account that's built into Windows 8. One of the things that I love is I took a brand new device, I went home, and it was already connected to my home Wi-Fi because my password was shared across those devices. But make it simple. I spent 15 years as an IT pro before joining Microsoft, and the one thing that I absolutely know is what my end users used to say all the time, and that is, I don't care how it works, I just want it to work. And that's all they care about, that it's transparent. I want to plug it in, I want to go, and I want to have it there. And at the core of this session is really that. So I thought a kind of a nice way to start is, you have one of the new Lenovo Twists.
Yeah, I joined the group, and we have a refresh, and here's my new machine.
That's very pretty.
I can open it. Hold on, let me open it.
Oh, nice.
I like the
spins
machine.
Around, does all this cool stuff. I need a volunteer, actually. Can I grab a volunteer from the audience? Who wants to volunteer and come up? The gentleman with the ball, you're volunteering your
Sorry
friend?
About the hair.
Nice.
The gentleman with
I'm
going to
volunteer this guy. Do you guys know each other at least, or are you just randomly picking people out of the audience?
Yeah. Good man.
All right.
Hold
so
on,
your
man.
Name is, you are, your name is Art Hogarth. All right, Art, nice to meet you. Out of Scottsdale, Arizona. Nice. So isn't this a nice, pretty laptop? Really nice. All right, I need your help with
That's
something.
My laptop,
so,
yeah.
See down there, there's a white coat. Grab that.
And you
can do a little experiment.
You gotta put these on as well. Safety glasses.
It's all right, Ron. You're going to like this. We're going to make your laptop better.
Just so, in the interest of safety.
Let's see. We'll put this on. There's some buttons. You can probably pull it over your head if you want. So, and I grabbed one of my crew T-shirts that I got the other day. So, do that. So, I'm going to...
Just open the buttons for you.
Yeah, we'll do this.
You got to put on the safety glasses.
Oh, no, we will. So, let's see. We'll do this. Kind of wrap that up really nice.
Just in case of danger.
I'm going to put that right there. That'd be a good place
It's Microsoft. We're very, politically correct, and we don't want to be sued.
You know how to use a hammer? Yeah. Sorry, we didn't bring any for you.
No, but it's my laptop.
No, just have at it. Just give it, give it a bunch of good wax, as hard as you can. The glass part's facing up. Come on.
Oh, wow. He's getting into it.
Wow, he's got some anger issues. One or two more. Go ahead. Yeah, use the claw part. Nice.
That's my laptop.
Let's take a look, see how it looks.
I wonder, does it still work?
Oh, that is beautiful. Look at that, boys and girls. Look, that just peels right off, too. That was fun. I appreciate that. Well, thanks for your help, Art. That was great. All right, well, I'm going to cover that back up. So here you go.
Thanks for that. Yeah, I think I'll bring it to IT, and they might be able to do something.
So normally, we would need to worry about things like this.
Jesus.
You know what you...
Am I covered by insurance?
No, yeah, that would not be a warranty thing. So normally we'd have to worry about that. But you know what, Ronnie? We don't. That's what's great, is I have a very nice Lenovo X1 Carbon, which I can give to you. And because we set up UEV and we set up these features, it doesn't really make a difference. So let's go through the technologies we're going to talk about today. And in case you get a line, I'm keeping the hammer. Mm-hmm. So System Center Configuration Manager, UEV, User Experience Virtualization. For those of you not familiar with this product, this is part of the MDOP, the Microsoft Desktop Optimization Pack. If you are a Software Assurance Volume License customer, you have access to this. In short, UEV is a tool that once you install the agent onto an end user, which you can make part of your deployment process, it will automatically, for any of the apps that you use, take any settings and automatically move them across all. So if you go into Adobe Acrobat and you change a default setting, it will be on all of your PCs and it will follow that setting. It's not just for Microsoft software. Folder redirection, something we've used back since the XP days. But as we take a look at BYOD scenarios, what becomes really important, and this is the thing that I hear over and over again, I need to control and manage the data. I don't care if I fire a user, but I don't want them taking our whole sales pipeline with me. Somebody asked me yesterday, there's a new feature in Windows 8.1 that's this VPN feature where if you launch an app, the VPN automatically launches. And he said, I thought we were getting rid of VPN, going to direct access. And I said, not in all cases. And in many cases, you want it where when your user launches Goldmine or Act or some sales database management program, that the database is not stored on that PC. Every time they launch that app, it launches a VPN, goes out, grabs the data that's up on the server, and then allows that user to use it. So folder redirection falls into that. And AppV, another question I got. Well, we want to move users to the new version of Office, but we're still using this version, and we can't just give them the new one because they don't get that whole toolbar, and they're used to their tools, file, mail merge. They want that. All right. AppV not only will stream down the app to a user for the first time, but it allows you to run two versions of the same application simultaneously. So you could have Office 2000, whatever it is you're running on that machine, add Office 20, 14, 13, put it right there, Office 15. It's right there. They see both. They can run both. They can do it side by side while they're training. And you can turn around and say, hey, July 1st, your old version's going away. Your new version's going to stay. Those icons are just going to disappear. And with AppV, we can do that. But they can still go into training classes, train on that application, still use the current one they're using as we slowly weed them over. Rather than doing dual boots or giving them two machines or setting up labs, why not give them access to both within it? SkyDrive Pro. How many of you in here are not familiar with SkyDrive Pro? Raise your hand. Good, quite a few people. You're all familiar with SkyDrive. SkyDrivers are in the cloud service. You get a bunch of it for free. One of the things that you're going to see in Windows 8.1 is a deeper integration of SkyDrive. And for many users and many companies are setting default save for SkyDrive. You're automatically going to save to the cloud. But the problem with that is it is public. What do we do if we want private? Well, through Office 365, you can do SkyDrive Pro. SkyDrive Pro can either be a hosted service up in the cloud, or you can host it yourself in a private cloud. But what it is SkyDrive that you manage. Secured, encrypted, you hold it, you manage it. And really, our rule at Microsoft is we have both, is SkyDrive is for your pictures, SkyDrive Pro is for your documents. So we save all of our documents to SkyDrive Pro. I went into pictures, default save, favorites, and made it the library, got rid of it, so now whenever I save a picture, it automatically is saved to SkyDrive Pro. So I have that sort of synergy between the two, because it becomes a pretty critical way to do that. So user settings, apps, and data is what we're talking about here. All the way across. As long as you're running Windows 8 Pro, or Windows 8 Enterprise. And yes, you could do a lot of this with Windows 7 as well. It's not exclusive date, but we have features that make it better and smarter as we start to move through those. It becomes pretty critical. So let's show what happens when the user first signs into their brand new PC. So this is a PC that you've imaged, doesn't have all the apps, it has none of their data, but we want to show that experience and how we make sure that as we make those changes and we see those synergies that that happens. So Ronnie?
Great. So obviously I'm quite upset about my previous, but I have a new Surface here, right? So I'm going to log into Surface for the first time.
You don't get to keep that machine, just so you know.
Shit.
Sorry.
Okay. Thanks for that. I got to have to start queuing. Okay, so I'm going to log in for the first time here. Not as this person. Go back. The user. See, now I can't type. No, don't. You try it. Okay. Oh, crap. Okay, hold on. Great now.
So as you can see, we're dealing with the average user who will be calling our IT help desk any moment. This is a great impression of your average user.
Yeah,
I like
yeah.
that.
I was hitting. Okay, well, fine. That's my first mistake. So I'm logging in now for the first time, and... we'll see what happens. Give it a second. I'll have the nice Surface experience as I kick off. Hi.
So you can see that this is a first boot, that we've not preloaded up stuff. We haven't brought things in, that this is the first boot for the end user. So we'll let it kind of go through those steps. So what are we going to see here? And that sort of becomes the whole thing. So I'm going to switch back to my deck here for a minute, and we'll wait for Ronnie's machine to finish going through. So what we're going to see is that UEV is going to deliver the Windows apps and settings across the devices. So Ronnie has other devices that he's already using in the office, including the one that I just destroyed. He has pictures in there. He has things that are personal to him, backgrounds, etc. The folder redirection for offline files, that's going to provide access to his documents across all these devices, and it's going to ensure if he saves, edits, or changes a document on any of these devices, it will be available the same way on all of them. AppV is going to enable the user's apps to follow them across devices. So Ronnie's going to see icons for all of the apps that he uses. They will not be installed on the PC. What was going to happen is the first time he clicks them, they're going to do a stream down first run. He'll be able to use it in a few seconds, and we'll show that to you. And then the app will finish downloading. Once he does that, he does not need to do it again unless there's an update, patch, or change to that application. So you only need to be connected once. Remember also that with our folder redirection, we're going to do it with offline files. So as the user works on those files, if that user's not connected, that's fine. The next time they connect up to the office, those changes will happen. And with Config Manager, we're going to manage and distribute all of these to all the users on their devices. So that is number six or seven?
Six. Perfect.
There we go.
Okay, so straight away I can see my desktop background has come up. So it's the ice image. That was mine from the previous. So I'm feeling a bit more confident that everything is going to be there. If I click on Documents, as I say, this was a blank PC before I got it 2 minutes ago. If I click on my Documents, I can already see my files have come across. So with folder redirection, I've got my files, right? So happy days. I'm feeling a bit more confident now again. If I double click on this, I can see where actually, just to prove where they're actually being stored, I can see on the properties, that they're being stored on the domain controller. I have a share there on the domain controller, and that's where my files are all being stored. The yellow icon actually signifies that they're offline as well. So I have my common area for my files. So if I go to, next thing I want to check is check my applications to see, okay, are my applications, have they come across with app V? So if I click on an application, so I pick one of these files here, and I'm going to open it.
So now Word is streaming down. Word is not installed on this machine. It's now streaming. It's going to stream the base bits to be able to view, and then it's going to do things like the additional tools and all of that over the next minute or so. It takes no more than between 30 seconds to about 2 minutes, depending on the speed of your connection. So it's going great. It's your first time using it. Do we want to send improvement?
I'm fine. I'm going to keep going.
Thank you for helping the office to make a better version of Office.
Thank you. That's the kind of guy that I am. Yeah. So as well, you get the welcome to Office, but we know what it's all about. Okay.
So there we go.
So my file.
Our version of Office is run. This was not installed. We streamed it down. This is our domain controller right here. That's as quick as it took. How about PowerPoint? Let's see PowerPoint. So let's go ahead and close out of that.
Yeah. So if I go to.
See, now what's interesting is it's not there. So go back to your My Docs folder.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So if I go to My Docs again.
Go back to your desktop. Close out of the Word doc and, go back to there and launch a PowerPoint file.
And what will happen? I think I know what's going to happen here. So it's going to do the same thing. So it's going to stream the application down on the first kickoff.
And there we go. So now when we go back to that main screen,
If
we type in PowerPoint, now we can see it's now installed.
So that's app V.
Now, we could also put icons that are just shortcuts right on the desktop for the end user. It can be completely hidden. We can say, you know what? I don't want to pay licenses if people are not using this software. So although it's available to our sales org, let's see who launches it. We can go into System Center, see who's launched that, and say, hi, these are the licenses that we're using, licenses that are removed. We don't have to pay for software that we're not using. Doesn't that start to make your life a little bit easier? Here's the other great point. You get a call from an end user. Hi, I need Publisher. All right, give me 30 seconds. We go to System Center. We say, hi, provision that because the AppV client is on there. It takes about 2 or 3 minutes. We go, great. Go ahead and open up that attachment that you got with Publisher because the person clicks it. They double click it. Nothing happens. I don't have Publisher. Hi, I need Publisher. All right, System Center, AppV, provision. Give this person access to it. Great. Now double click that attachment. Boom, opens, Publisher's there, it's going to finish streaming down over the next few minutes. It's that simple. You're not pushing out, you're not running XEs, you're not telling that person to connect to a share because we know how technical end users are when we tell them to use the run command. We're keeping it very, very simple for folks to do. We also can say, again, have two different versions of that running simultaneously. So that becomes a key piece of what we're talking about here, and that ability to quickly and simply. If that user was at home, it doesn't make a difference. They don't necessarily, as long as they're connected to a VPN, you're able to do exactly the same thing that we're doing here.
Okay, so if I look at some other files I have, so I've got my documents, I've got my applications, I've got PowerPoint, I've got Word, so I'm feeling better again. So I want to see if I've got my pictures, right? So if I open my pictures file, so I have some family portraits here and some strange, my pet back home. Is there as well? We go back a long way.
I could make so many jokes, but I'm going to be good.
They wouldn't.
If you were Scottish, you'd really be in trouble right now. That's all I'm saying.
So I'm over here 2 years. They reload. They wouldn't pay her fare. What can you do? But anyhow, so I have my photos, right? And if I look at photos as well, you can see as well in the photos or in the pictures, again, the location of that file, just to prove the point, is obviously on that share as well. Okay, so that's how it shares the files across. So that's one side. So I have my files, I have my applications. So what about my settings? So to give an example, right? So say you have your Internet Explorer settings. So with UEV, as Stephen mentioned, UEV is a great product because it actually slows down and it actually allows you to share your settings across your different profiles. So it blocks the idea where it's coming from as a product or a pain point is where users, say you have task workers in a call center and they're using different PCs.
Go ahead.
Okay, so what would happen in that scenario? I'm still on the demo. I'm not finished yet. Okay. But what would happen there? They would have if they had a lot of files, a lot of pictures, a lot of stuff. They would basically have this profile being dragged across, and they would take minutes to log in, or maybe longer than that. And it was a bad user experience. User experience virtualization, which is part of MDOP, allows you to stream those settings much quicker. So straight away you're logging in, and you're productive. So just to show you that an example of that?
I'm going to switch back.
So yes, please. So if I go to Internet Explorer, you see an Irish theme again. I have my homepage is basically an Irish website for vacations in Ireland, right?
Why is it black?
I don't know, actually.
The guy passed out. It was rough.
No, it's
exhausted.
Probably...
He was sleeping.
Don't make jokes about
that. Oh, there it is. Okay.
We're hardworking the nation.
It's far away. Takes some time.
So anyway, no, this is kind of a plug for Ireland. That's not why I'm here, but we need help. We need more tourists coming to Ireland. Anyway, so that's my homepage, okay? So our economy is a bit screwed at the moment. So anyway, my settings have come across, so I have my homepage there. So happy as well. So I don't have to change my homepage and all that kind of stuff. So that's
and let me add here. Again, I've worked with end users. So let me ask you this one. For those, how many of you actually manage end users as part of your job? Okay. Now, how many of you have that person? And I have this, and for those of you who've seen me speak before, I've talked about this example. Dot. I have this woman I refer to as Dot. Dot has been with the company for 19 years. She was like the babysitter for now the company's CEO. You ask her why she does things because it's the way that she's always done it. But when there's a problem, you cannot help Dot over the phone. She is expected that you are going to go to her desk and you are going to help her until she is happy and not leave. And when Dot logs into her PC, there is the picture of her grandkids, and there are the five icons on the right which log her into the five things that she does every single day. And if any of that has changed, your day is going to suck until you get that right. Everybody have one of those users?
Cheer.
UEV is one of your best friends now. Because what's going to happen the moment you give Dot a new PC? There goes your day. That's it. You're done. Yes.
Yeah.
Dot's going to log in. And with the Windows 8 settings, yes, her desktop, all that, but UEV is going to take it further. Now her homepage is back. Those icons are there on her desktop. Those customizations that she has spent years making that make no sense to us but make a lot of sense to her are automatically there. That experience travels. And you go, Dot, by the way, here's a new PC that you're going to use at home so you don't have to carry a PC back and forth. But don't worry about it. She gets home. She logs in. That homepage is the same. Those features are still the same, and it follows her. And as she makes those additional customizations, those move across. So
great,
show us a little bit more here.
Cool. So in terms of SkyDrive Pro, I'll just show you SkyDrive Pro. How I'm going to associate this with the PC now here. So I'm going to log into it for the first time on this PC. And you'll see me typing passwords again, which is going to be fun.
And by the way, UEV does not require a VPN connection. It can be done over a regular internet connection as long as your proxy server is
very fast network.
Configured correctly. Yes?
Yep.
It's a little bit different than that. It's not going to do all of the tool. Like, if you add toolbars to it, it won't do that. It marks the settings, not just in Internet Explorer, but across all of your apps. So the question was, does it migrate things like toolbars, things along that line? Is it going to grab this? So if you change default settings and you allow the users to change default settings, here's homepage, security, yes. Now, I'll get into granularity in a minute. There are some things you can say you can, and we'll talk about this momentarily, but you can also, as Ronnie's working on this, you can say, here are settings you can change. Here are settings you cannot. You can lock down and say, these are the defaults, and these cannot be changed, and no matter how much you change them, they're always going to go back to my defaults. But these, you are allowed to edit and change and use. Does that answer your question? Excellent.
So I just logged into Office 365 on this machine for the first time, and there's an option up here on Office 365 that I want to get my files basically and sync them with my machine. So it's really, really simple. So I can see my files here, but if I go to SkyDrive, you can see my various files that I have put up on the cloud, right? Yeah, that's another one. Okay, I'll open that now. Just to make it, for the hangovers in the audience. Well, I might actually open this one. I'll sync it first, actually, hold on. So I'll sync it to my PC. There's a sync option here. And you say allow. Okay, and I just sync now. So it's going to pull those files down, and it's going to create a folder on my Explorer. I'll show you now. So you'll see I have a SkyDrive Pro folder just popped up. right? So that's linked directly to my SkyDrive Pro account. So within that, just for the hangovers, okay.
What do you think? Pretty cool? So this is available in all the versions.
Does anybody know where in the U.S. I can get a good pint, actually, is another question.
I have a few places. I'll recommend some later. So it's really that simple. That all we need to do is sort of configure it up on the server, and it can even be done where you can say to a user, there's a pop-up and it says, hi, welcome to SkyDrive Pro. Which folder do you want to do? And you can let users pick, or you can run a script that says, hi, your My Docs now is automatically going to be moved to SkyDrive Pro. We're going to set it up on that. It's provisioned for that user, where that is now the default. And the user doesn't even realize it, because all they know is they're saving to My Docs. What they don't know is there is a local copy. It's being saved up, but also through group policy, you could say, hi, I'm about to fire this person. Turn that off. Remove the offline file. The next time that user logs in, boom, that's gone. You hold all that data. That user takes their PC. They go to look at My Docs, and it's all gone. And if they followed the save your pictures to SkyDrive, save your docs to SkyDrive Pro, which they didn't even realize they were doing, you now own that end user's data. You can manage that. And for BYOD scenarios, this really starts to make a lot of sense as we start to put that together.
Good. And just one other kind of on the UEV side, on the setting side, just to kind of reemphasize it. If I look for calculator here, so I had a dot at a particular weight. This wouldn't make sense in dots.
No,
ways.
Dot is not a scientific
no,
calculator
she wouldn't be a scientific
person.
Calculator.
But if she was, or she was also a PhD.
We'd be surprised, yeah. Sorry, he's giving that to me here.
Doesn't like your Guinness. It's scared.
No. So if I go to the calculator, you can see it's already preset to scientific, which wouldn't be for dot, but maybe it was.
So what's great is you do that move between machines, you don't have to go, oh, I need scientific all the time, I need this again. It's going to follow you across whatever you set on one, moves over to all the rest.
So the final thing here, just to kind of, in terms of my app, so I've seen my Internet Explorer, I've seen Calendar, I've seen my pictures, getting upset about missing Flossy. I've seen my documents, as I'd mentioned.
Seen the apps come over, yeah.
I've connected to SkyDrive. So it's happy days. I'm up and running. And the final thing is just to verify, have I got my other apps? If I look at all apps that have been assigned here, so all my apps, some of them personal apps, have all come across.
Yep. Things like WinZip, things like that, we've also now
moved over.
So
that took, 10 minutes?
Not even. So how many of you could have done that in 10 minutes, given a user a brand new laptop that had nothing more than your base image, and they now have access to everything, but you control all of it? What do you think?
Is that good? Thank you very much.
All right. But wait, there's more.
Oh, dear.
If you order now, we'll throw in. No. So it's important to understand that we're working across boundaries, that a lot of other roaming solutions, which are great for the docs, but it does some of this, it's not going to do it fully. This takes the feature you have in Windows 8 that automatically says, I'm going to take your bookmarks, I'm going to take those settings, and takes it to a whole nother level of the complete personalized PC following you, roaming, and coming with you. So we set up the simple file share, the UEV agent, it's deployed with any ESD system, which is great. We configure the agent using group policy, and again, we can say, this user can customize everything, or no. These are default settings. You cannot change this, 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 and this, but you're allowed to change you can't change your homepage. You can't add toolbars. Remember, Internet Explorer has 1,400 security settings that you can do through group policy more than any other browser. That's why it is the preferred enterprise browser for many companies, because of that lockdown. But the problem is it doesn't lock down some things like, you know, we don't want to allow this, we do, Acrobat, whatever those settings are. We can do it through group policy. You can change this. You can't change this. You cannot. We're going to remove the update button. Cannot hit that update button. Can't go to a new version. That's something we're going to push out, et cetera. You can also create templates with something called the UEV generator. And you can deploy a custom template in that file share. So you can say, here's our template. This is what all of our branches are going to use. Just double click it, and now you're following a company standard. So you don't have to redo those efforts or say, here's our sales template. I'm going to copy it, make a few edits, and now this is our desktop support one. So you're not redoing those efforts over and over again.
Yeah, and exactly, because yesterday at the booth, I got a question on it with one of the engineers from the UEV team. And the guy came up and he said, I know about UEV, but I've got this application that's, it's a humdinger. It's like there's the amount of settings on it. It's a line of business app. What am I going to do? How do I actually do that? And the way that he did it, basically, the guy said to him, look, all you need to do is get your power user, turn on the generator, and get them to do what they normally do. And it actually creates the file associated with all the settings that he has done. So essentially, you don't have to do anything. Just get a power user and create the file,
right,
the generator.
And then just lock it down, copy it, and you're done. So sounds easy enough?
So I'm going to do UEV.
How many of you have MDOT right now? Okay.
Great.
Anybody who just raised their hand, you can go play with this today. So over lunch, if you're bored.
So we're doing UEV now. Okay.
Yep. So we're done with UEV.
I'm going to do the demo.
You're going to do another demo. Okay.
Okay. So I switch.
I'll switch you.
Thank you kindly.
I didn't realize you were going to do another one. I'm excited. Show me what you're going to do.
So am I.
There you go. Okay. You're at the server.
Yes. Okay. So this is the, just to show you how simple it is to do UEV as well in terms of configuring it, I'll just take you through a few steps. Okay. So as we discussed, it's extremely powerful.
So wait a minute. We're not just going to tell people how to do this. You're actually going to show them?
Yeah.
Ooh, extra value for your dollar.
There
All right.
Go.
Go for it.
Okay. So in terms of myself, so I was Paul. I'm Paul for the demo, right? So this is Paul's, the first thing you need to do with UEV is create this shared file that you can use to store those settings. And that's pretty simple, right? And then I'm going to show you how that's done and the settings associated with it. So on my domain controller, I have my file here created with Paul. And in that, I have all the setting packages, right? So remember I was showing you the calculator, for example. There's a package created for the calculator. My desktop settings, which was the ice background, that's here as well. And my Internet Explorer, et cetera, as well, and some theme settings. Now, that's just a small, trivial amount of settings. But you can imagine you can do all your applications, everything else. It's just a file share. It's simple enough to do. And all your settings are stored there. Okay, and they're unique to Paul. If I go to the permissions on that share, you'll see what I'm talking about. So the settings store.
Okay. Unfortunately, on this server, dude, I don't know if we can. I don't think the Zoom, it wasn't working properly. Yeah, sorry.
Sorry, I'll try and make it a bit bigger just to...
Yeah. It's not going to do much.
Not going to do much, okay. Right. So if I go to Paul here, sorry about that.
We tried installing Zoom, but it was acting funky.
Yeah. So if I go to properties on this, and I go to sharing, and I go to advanced properties, and I do permissions, you'll see that on the UEV users group, which you need to create, which is all the users in your area, they have rights to create the folder, et cetera. But if you go to, where am I now? Actually, I think I've
You're in the user, so you want to go to administrators. Yep.
Yeah.
There you go.
I think I set it up over here.
Notice we can also max out the number of simultaneous users that can use this. This is especially important when you're doing app counts or things along that line. It becomes pretty critical. So we can choose for the average user if they have full control, if they can change, if they can read this, or we can see the permissions then for the admin as we start to move through this.
Yeah, so the UEV users have the people have the rights to this actual folder. If I go to, let me remind myself now here. And I go to security.
Yep.
And I go to advanced.
Advanced.
Bear with me. So if I continue here. Now, from a permissions point of view, here we go. So on the permissions point of view, you can see the UEV users have special permissions, right? So they can only create the folder. But the actual originator is the person that's got full rights to it. So you're actually locking it down. So you have a share. As new users come on, they will be able to create the folder, and they'll have their own slot for their settings. But the actual originator, which is them, are the only ones that can actually write and edit that. It's a secure lockdown environment.
Okay.
Okay?
Nice. So taking a look at folder redirection, this has not changed.
No, before we finish.
Sorry.
So we created the folder. The last thing we need to do as part of this, So the two steps you need to do. Firstly, you need to create that share and create the permissions for it, right? The last thing you need to do is you need to deploy the actual agent, the UEV agent, at each of those clients. And that's really, really simple. It's just an executable that you need to actually, an agent you need to deploy. And you can use anything. And you can actually even put it into the image. So as part of the image, when you actually create the PC for the first time and you give it to the person, that agent's actually deployed.
You should actually put in the UEV and then, of course, any of the app V agents that you need to drop in. It should be part of your interface.
So the key message you want to land is it's really simple to deploy this.
Yep. Now you're good?
I'm good. Thank you. This is the first time doing this.
So moving forward. So folder redirection. Again, not that dramatically different from XP, but what we've done is made it thinner, smarter, faster, and with features like direct access, branch cache, it's gotten a lot easier to use. So our goal, again, is that consistent document access that we're using. Now, when SkyDrive Pro, folder redirection, could you use one or the other? Absolutely. We're not just showing you one way to do this. There are a lot of different tools. SkyDrive, awesome. SkyDrive Pro, if you have Office 365, if you have the way to host it, that's great. Folder redirection works well as well. Folder redirection, though, is great when you have somebody that says, I do not have a constant internet connection. I may go weeks without one. All right, great. Then offline folder where you're going to work, and the next time you connect or you log in or VPN in, then we'll go through that synchronization. Versus something like SkyDrive or SkyDrive Pro, where people are going to always have access to Wi-Fi or other various areas, and then that's where they're going to pull the documents down from. Again, with SkyDrive, you do have an offline cache, but it does expect that you're going to be synchronizing on a regular basis because it will start to sort of warn you as you start to do that. So users have consistent access to the files on each device, and that includes things like VDI and VDI settings. So you're going beyond just files. It's how they're going to be remoting in. The offline file, as I said, users can work even when they're fully disconnected, so you're on a plane, it's not a problem, you're going to be able to, and it absolutely synchronizes those files next time they connect. We'll give you a pop-up warning, you haven't connected in a bit, so this way we don't need to start worrying about backups. I had a great story. I walked into a company, I got hired to oversee some security management, and they said, we have 300 salespeople. I said, awesome, and I said, and how do they back up their data? So if their laptop crashes, they're, you know, come in, no problem. They go, we gave them all backup drives. Anybody want to guess how many of the salespeople out of the 300 backed up their data? Two. Two did it. And I was amazed that the number was that high. I was absolutely stunned. I'm like, you've got to be kidding. None of them really did it. They're like, oh, I kept meaning to. I kept doing it. And the two people that did it had not done it in about 8 months. This gets rid of that need, because the first thing they're going to say to you when they walk in is, hi, my laptop's broken, I need another one, and I just was working on this presentation, and it's really important, so you need to get that presentation back for me. And you're looking at them like, yeah, okay. I got my dart, I got some tools, I'll see what I can do. But the fact that you spilled a martini on this is probably not going to help that feature. Or left it in your car for 4 hours while you went to a baseball game with your clients when it was 104 in Arizona. These are not good things, and we've seen it. Salespeople, great people, they are our bread and butter, they pay what we do, but they are not the most savvy, technological, smart people when it comes to gadgets. So this starts to remove some of that, and again, it gives you control over that data as we start to talk about it. So we basically have two different types of redirection, and then we'll demo this, is we have a basic and we have an advanced. The basic is we're just going to do files. When we get into advanced, we get into deeper settings. We create a file share, and then the GPO. How is this going to work? What are they going to be allowed to save? How much? Are there limits? And then we can optionally target that as well, which becomes a critical part of it. So, Ronnie, I'm going to let you walk you through,
us
through this.
Okay, great. So, I suppose the key point, as Stephen mentioned, we've done the settings with UEV. Now we're going to do the data and the files with folder redirection. And it's a very similar story in terms of how we set it up, et cetera. So, right in this situation here, we have the user folders in the domain controller VM. And this is the access point for all our users' files. Okay, so if I go here first and I look at the permissions on this, it's a very similar story here again, in that you have the, we have our administrator, creator, owner has full control, and then these domain users have that special permission again that I talked about, and if I click on that, they have, if I go again, show advanced permissions, they can list the folder and they can create the folder, but they can't actually do anything with the folder, okay? But if I go back to the creator owner, they've got full rights. All right? So the key point there is simple way to set up, simple way to share the files, and they have them all the time.
Absolutely.
Okay. So then if I want to go to Paul's folder, what's actually in the folder itself, right? So I go here. So I've actually decided these are the folders I'm going to share. I'm not sharing everything, but I'm sharing his app data, his documents, music, pictures, and videos. And to Stephen's point there about how we actually can do that, you'll notice I haven't shared favorites, for example, here. But if I go to the documents file, and I go to properties, and sharing. That's not the one I want to do, is it? Security. Thank you, Alan. Cheers.
Now advance. There you go.
Great. Thanks. I go continue. I'm not sure that's the one I wanted to do.
Yep, you're not going to be able to edit that one up because you're not that user.
Yeah, but I can show the basic. Now, where the hell is the basic?
So what we can do here is we can then go in and we can say, you know what, we want to add a favorites folder. The nice thing is, and here's the key thing that you see, is that if I drop out of this, I'm going to take over here for a minute, is that if I drop out of this and I go into the pictures folder, that it's going to say, I'm sorry, you can't get into it, but I can go in as an admin. No one else. So if they say, is this secure? Yes. If someone hacks into your servers, the data's in there. You have access and rights to it, but you can't go thumbing through it unless you set up those permissions ahead of time. And that's going to be a critical thing. Now, you can set up that permission where you can see what that person's doing. You can do a secondary backup, but all the data is still inside. So just because you don't have access to it, you'll have to take a look at your rights and how you put that
together. So if
together.
I show the next thing, I want to show the group policy that you talked about in terms of the basic, et cetera, as well. So I've already started group policy management, which is just kicked off the application. And if I go to the folders themselves, back, I go folder redirection, and I do edit, and then I go to, I think it's users.
You want computer?
Then I go to preferences.
And again, we can set up computer policies or user policies. So we can set this up on a computer level that says, hey, no matter who uses this PC, this is great if you have multiple users that are logging in. To a single device, we can do that, or we can set it up by user. So in a medical facility, we may set this up as a computer policy. When we have individuals, we may set it up as an individual user configuration. So we have different ways to be able to put that together and to be able to set that up.
Okay, so I go to Windows Settings.
Yep.
And I go to, where the hell is this again?
Go to your user.
Yep. Which?
Go down to your user. Go down to policies. There you go.
Okay.
You have your Windows settings. Great. And there you go.
Pardon me. I went to the wrong folder.
Yep.
Okay. So I can go to these folders here. If I right-click on each of these, I can see what Stephen was talking about in terms of the basic configuration. So that's going to be backed up. If I go to, say, favorites, for example, it hasn't been configured. So there are the four files that I have configured. The rest aren't.
So I hit the drop-down where it says not configured? Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are there settings to customize the library configuration? There are scripts that you can run where you can have this automatically happen. So you can say, hey, the library automatically redirect docs. So this can all be set up as a GPO first time they log in. It automatically sets up the library. So it says, hey, as soon as they hit my docs, it goes into offline folder. This one gets set up this way. So you can do that all via that configuration. Yes, absolutely. If you see me afterwards, I'm happy to point that out to you. All right.
Okay. Finally, in terms of offline files, we talked about offline files there a second ago.
Yep.
So you can configure it so that you can force the user that they use offline files. You can actually restrict them if they don't. And if you don't configure it, they can turn it off themselves. So you have full flexibility on the whole offline files mode there for your mobile workers. So when they're connected or they're not connected, they either have offline files or they don't. So you have full flexibility there.
Absolutely. So AppV is our last one. So what we're doing is we're centrally packaging and publishing our apps. We're turning them into virtual apps. There are converters that do this very simply and very easily. If you go out to, I'll show you exactly where to go find this. So if you go to, it's a split screen. So we go to windows.com, WAC IT Pro. Takes us to the Springboard series, and we have this great area here. Here's Windows 8, Windows 7, MDOP. But if we go to Desktop Virtualization and we click, we have all of these types of files, settings, stuff that we're talking about. Windows.com, WAC, IT Pro, go out to Desktop Virtualization, and you can see here, here's our Windows, Thin PC, Virtualization, UEV. So if we go into UEV, we can see what is the deployment guide, our deployment and setup demonstration, our group policy settings. And when we get into AppV, we have our sequencing guide. And the sequencing guide, I encourage you to check out. It's a really great doc. It downloads, but it says, okay, this is how I want this to do, and this is how I want to build out the sequence as we start to do it. So it's pretty straightforward, which is one of the things that I really like. But all you have to do is literally just go in, take the application, run through the steps to launch it and go through, and then you've built the package. The packages, once you have, you go in, you can distribute them out. You can have multiple packages, different users. Again, pretty easy to set up. The apps follow the users from device to device. They're available even when they're offline. So again, this does not have to be online. They only have to be online once, the first time they launch the app. After that, they're offline. They could be offline for months. If there's updates to the apps, that's when you're going to want them to connect up and grab that. Integrated platform. So we have what we call our virtual application extension. This uses the basic and native file system registry. You don't worry about dedicated drive letters, which is great. We now have virtualized application control, which we fully support Office 13 and up, and a web-based interface, so a lot easier. And we have full automation with PowerShell. So if you're a PowerShell person, great. You can click, you can set this up, you can build this out pretty simply.
Great. OK, so what is this one again? So I'm going to show you AppFi. How many people are using AppFi?
Nice.
Great. Anybody using 5.0?
Few people. Okay.
You're kind of doing that. Okay, so you're thinking about it, right? So one of the cool things that, two cool things we've actually brought in from AppFi, we have a new web-based console, which I'm going to bring you through, which is with AppFi 5.0. And we've also eliminated the need for a specific drive, like the Q drive. So who had fun with Q drive? Well, it's okay with 5.0. You don't have to do that anymore. Okay? Hey, great. Good stuff. So I'm going to bring you through an example of how we actually package applications. Okay, let's go over here now. So in terms of packaging. So these are all the applications I've packaged up already, right? So my my own packages that I'm using that I'm actually, they're published to me that I can use, and our users who are in the group can use as well.
Right. Okay? We saw 7-Zip, for example, when you launched the
Exactly, Surface exactly. PC, and that's how that came there for me. If I go to, so you have basically in this, you have your packages, you have your details on your server that you're actually using to provide those packages, and then you have your settings. Okay, so you can change your administrator rights, et cetera, as well. Okay, so if I go to the file here, so if I go to my D drive and contents and XML notepad, this is a particular application that I've already packaged up, right? So if I open it, so you have the one thing about this as well, you can still use the old format, so you can still have your MSI-based files as well. But we've introduced a new format called, which allows you to do dynamic packaging. So you can actually build a package, adjust the package on the fly. You don't have to rebuild everything. You can actually work with the package as it is. So when you're actually adding new add-ins, et cetera, you can just inject it into that package. Okay? So if I show you the how we actually do this, pardon me now. So in the package mode, I want to do a... I go to connection groups. Sorry, it's over here. Add or upgrade. Pardon me. So I'm going to pick a package here. I'm going to create a package right now on the fly. Okay? So I'm going to pick this notepad again.
Notice it as the AppV extension. That's how you can tell those apart.
Yeah. So I do open that. And I'm going to do add. So it's imported the package straight away, but it's obviously it's not published yet. So within that, what is in this package, right? So I can edit the access to actually who can actually access this straight away. So do I want people to have it or do I not? You saw the way I got the 7up package straight away on my own when I created a, my first time logging in there. So we can manage all this. So I'm going to edit the access to this. So if I go to corp user, I can check. So I'm picking a particular group. It's found it there, hasn't it?
Flip your backslash.
What?
Your slash gone the wrong way.
Oh, crap. Okay. Sorry. It's all good.
There you go.
There we go. So I can grant access to that group, that package. Then if I want to look at the actual configuration of the package, itself. Pick the package and I close this down.
Click on edit default. Mm-hmm. Yep, there you go. There's your signed configuration, so you can hit the drop down for that. We can see exactly what the name is, where the shortcuts are, file types. We can even go in and into advanced. We can create some additional feature sets with it. So let's go ahead and let's publish it.
Yep. So I can just publish it straight away there.
Yep. And there we go. So that's it. So now a user said, hi, I need that. We could do that to an individual. We could do it to a user, to a group, to a global GPO. Hi, I need access to this. Great. We're going to give it to the whole sales org. Wonderful. It's now published. Two ways. Now an icon has shown up on their desktop, which all they have to do is click so they know they have it, or if they just go ahead and run an associated app with it, they're done. That's it. As soon as all the machines stream up and we can force that out, we're good to go. That's all there is to it.
Okay, so I want to talk about another feature then within AFI 5.0 is called connection groups. And this is what I was talking about earlier. You can create a new connection group, and this is like grouping applications and add-ins together. Okay, so I'm going to create a new one here called I'm going to call it Office Assembly, I think is the name of the thing. So what's in this package, right? So if I go click on the package and I go to edit. So these are all the other packages that you saw on the list earlier on, right? So I've got Office, for example. So I want to create something where we have a new add-in and we want to distribute it to all our users. Now normally that's a pain and we have to ask Dot to do it, and she'd probably eat it before she'd do it. So we can actually do this through this way simply on the actual using the existing packages that we have. So I'm going to do this.
Don't forget Assembly.io.
Yeah, I'm going to add that as well. Don't worry. Yep. And this is the add-in that we're talking about.
This is great when you want to also do, we want to add in link packages, .NET framework packages, things along that line as you're associating apps.
Okay.
Yep.
Just close. So then we have the access. So we have a package created straight away that has both Office and Assembly.io, and it has got we have already got the domain computers on there as adding access to it. I can edit if I want to more. So you can see the domain computers are on there as well.
And note for that, we could, again, users, groups, computers, global groups, et cetera.
Okay.
And then you just want to publish it.
Publish it, indeed. So straight away, I publish this application to all our users.
Boom.
So everybody has it. So instead of having to get Dot to do anything, the next time she logs in, she has the application.
Easy enough? All right. Nice. So with Config Manager, you can make this a lot easier. We've really kind of shown you a manual step because not everybody has Configuration Manager or uses it the same way. So some things to keep in mind is that Configuration Manager is going to provide sort of a user-centric application delivery so that the users have access to all these apps from all their PCs. So we're using one platform. We can use MSI. We're pushing out AppV packages. We're sort of making this sort of the most centralized way to do this. Remote desktop services we can push out this way. So really remember, for those of you that have it, that's great. Now, Windows to go. I actually previewed this presentation about a month or so ago for some folks at a conference that I was at, and they said, what if I don't have another PC that you can hand me? It's great that you smash the PC, but it's assuming that you have another one sitting right here. Ah. So I was in an EBC with a customer, which is something we do. They're called executive briefings. We sit down with some of our very large customers. They come out to Redmond for a day or two, and they get to meet with all the product teams. And we were chatting, and they said, yeah, we have this problem where, you know, all this is great, but the bottom line is somebody's got to put their laptop and they've got to FedEx it to us. 2 days. We get the laptop. We have to repair it. 2 days. Then we have to send it back. 2 days. I now have a salesperson without a laptop for 6 days. How are they going to share those PowerPoint jokes and things like that with other salespeople? They don't have a vehicle to do it. Windows to go. Windows to go can be in any salesperson's drive, and all the things we just showed you, the AppV packaging, UEV, all this can be part of that image because you can use MDT to build that base image and go through the same steps. So what I have here is a Windows to go PC. Regular PC. So I've got my Seattle Space Needle, and as somebody put it, I have the Teletubby Hill over on the left. Somebody wrote that on my blog yesterday. I'm like, okay. So I'm going to log in and note administrator. This is an administrator. It's the only account. There's no other account on it. And I've put a Windows to Go drive in the back. Now, Windows to Go is an enterprise feature. You can do individually provisioned ones, sort of like the problem step recorder was that cool hidden feature in Windows 7, Windows 8. Windows to Go is that one in enterprise. Type in Windows to Go, brings up the Windows to Go creation tool. It asks you to put in a USB 3 stick. That is approved for Windows to go into your USB 3 port, point towards your ISO or WIM, build out the stick, you're good to go. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to go to settings, power, and I'm going to shut down. So I'm going to shut down this PC. And I have the Windows to go stick, so I'm going to go ahead and, let's wait for that. There we go, totally down. You won't see this part, but what I'm doing is I could set this PC as the default to boot from USB. I'm going to do it as a manual process to show you can do this anywhere. I'll tell you a fun story. I like to test Windows to go as I travel. So I missed it. Didn't hit it fast enough, damn it. I was in St. Louis at a hotel, and I like to go to the PCs where you can print up your boarding passes and put it in Windows to Go Drive and test it and see how many PCs I can get it to work with, etc. And right as I did it, the administrator happened to come by, the IT guy, and he looks and he freaks out and goes, "What the hell?" He goes, "Did you install Windows 8? I'm like, "No, I'm using Windows to Go." And he's like, "What?" And we spent several minutes, and I showed it to him and gave him the drive, and he just thought it was the coolest thing that he has ever seen in his life and absolutely went through it and just thought that it was awesome. That is a great question, and I'm glad you asked that. Yes, there is. Let me show it to you. Hang on. The question was, is there a list of the Windows to Go drives that are approved? I'm glad you asked. So once again, Windows.com, WAC IT Pro, takes you out to Springboard. We go to our Windows 8 zone, and under Explore, we have Windows to Go. So I'm going to zoom down. I'm going to zoom down. And right here is a list of the drives that are supported. Iron Key Workstation 300, the Kingston Data Traveler, the Spyrus Portable, that's a new one, very cool. Spyrus Portable Workspace, Super Talon, and if you want one that's cheap but not an SSD, you can pick up the Western Digital, the My Passport, which we have all these on display. If you head over to the Windows Hall, we have that one. It's 500 gigs, and it's only like $80. It's external as opposed to the USB drive. So that person boots in, they have access to everything they've seen, and they've done it on the drive. How many of you have not tried Windows to Go yet? Raise your hands. Oh, then you guys are going to love me this morning. I do not have enough for everybody, but look what Uncle Stephen brought with him this morning. I got a few. I don't have enough for everybody, but I have a few. Now, this is where it gets fun, because I'm just going to throw them, and you'll get them. And if you've already played with it or have one, look, I'm an IT pro. I can't throw that far. Come on. There's one. Jesus. Two. Three. Four. Five. Six. Seven. Eight. Nine. 10. 11. 12. 13. Higher. This is it, guys. All right, last one, 15.
What do you like, huh? That's very funny, Steve.
That's it. Now I need a massage. My arm's done. So play with it. What's nice is, do you have to have a USB 3 drive to actually run this, like a USB 3 port? No, you can do it with USB 2. But for the best experience, we do recommend USB 3. I had somebody say, can I run this on an old XP computer? Yeah, but it's not going to run very well because you're not going to have the graphics capability, the chip to really run it. This will run beautifully on any Windows 7 hardware, runs beautifully on Windows 8, put it in USB 3. You cannot tell the difference between the machine that you're working with and whether it's on Windows to Go or not. The key thing is you're going to see the title up, you boot into it, it's pretty cool. And if you have questions on Windows to Go, Craig happens to be sitting here in the front row. He'll be at the booth. He can show you the drives. He can answer. What's the Spyrus is a new drive. What's unique about the Spyrus? Come on up, and I'll give you a mic so people can hear you. This is Craig Ashley. He is our Windows to Go mobility expert.
Just one. And Iron Key and Spyrus are both the same. The difference is they have hardware drive encryption, and they bring advanced capabilities like remote wipe and the ability to kill on the go. So if a drive gets lost, it's hardware encrypted, shouldn't get broken anyway, but once it, if it does happen to surface on the internet again, it could be killed, or if you provide it to an end user and you don't want them to use it anymore, you send the remote kill as well. Iron Key's here if you're interested in talking to one of our vendors about the process to go through in certification. They're in booth 2301, so you're welcome to stop by there or the Windows booth to
what
talk more
new
about the drives
Windows
as well.
To go in Windows 8.1, what have we done differently in Windows
two,
to go?
Two things coming out. One of the biggest ones, if you have used it, and a lot of you hadn't when I saw the hands up, so we'll hopefully move that forward. In Windows 8, we had the Windows Store disabled by default for a variety of reasons, retail licensing. In 8.1, we've worked with the Windows Store team to enable it by default. So Windows to Go is just going to be more like Windows running on the drive.
A lot of feedback on that.
And then the last thing, which is interesting, and we're working with our drive partners to expand the ecosystem on the drives. Some of our vendors will be coming out and we'll be enabling this through Windows to Go, a what we call a composite drive. So there will be certificates that will be stored on the drive now as well. So we can't access their certificates on a host machine. Now you'll be able to do that for direct access and for other capabilities. So two-factor on the drive itself. That's really the other one, the other big one.
Thank you. So a few other cool things about Windows to Go that I get asked a lot of questions. What happens if, while in the middle of a Windows to Go drive session, somebody pulls the drive? You have 60 seconds to put that drive back, and it will completely shut down the machine if it's not put back in that amount of time. Now, this is important to understand. With Windows to Go, all you're doing is you're basically accessing the hard drive. I want you to think of, I just removed the hard drive on this PC, and this is the new hard drive. All you're going to see is the space on this. You have no access to the C drive, which means if you give this to someone and they are a temp worker and they're a temporary worker and you don't know where they've been, you don't know what sort of websites they've been to and what they've been working with, etc. What's great is it will not touch that base PC in any way, shape, or form, which is great. So you're going to be protecting that. You're just leveraging the hardware. Also, I don't want you to think of this as a USB drive. I want you to think of this as a device. We've had companies that said, our employees walk in and they go, hey, I'm due for a new PC. And like, oh, you got a Windows 7 PC, here's your new PC. And they go, what? This is it. And they pop it in and everything that we've just shown you immediately happens. Their apps come over, their docs come over, they have a secondary one as a backup. This is all that they use. The PC becomes not important. It is nothing more than just a tool to provide the hardware to launch this, to be able to see this, to be able to get out to the internet, but this becomes the new PC, which is great. And for BYOD, when somebody walks in with their own PC, it could be Windows 7 Home, Windows 8 Home, it doesn't matter. This is fully domain joined, managed, encrypted, secured PC that you're now giving that person. They're booting, they're leveraging the hardware, and this is all that they use. The space is limited to the size of this drive. We have 32, 64, 128, 500 gig, so you can put that together any way you want. USB is an enterprise, Windows to Go is an enterprise-only feature, so you must have Windows 8 Enterprise. Here's the good part. You have software assurance volume licensing. This costs you nothing extra. If you buy 50 Windows 8 Enterprise SAVL licenses, you can make 50 of these drives. We're not charging you anything extra. Good? Awesome. All right, we got about 8 or 9 minutes left, so I want to answer a few questions for folks. For those of you who are going to use that time then to go ahead and skip out, I want to point out a few things before you walk out, then we'll answer questions. There is 3 good sessions that I encourage you that are going to dig in deeper. This session is, as we said in the visual, kind of shows you how to put all this stuff together. It shows you the why you would want to do this and dig into this. Come to the booth, go to the Config Manager MDOP session, go to the UEV session, go to the PC Dart Recovery session, come to the booth, and we'll dig into those 300 and 400 level questions that you have. We want to make sure we had a good, accessible service. So how many of you feel this is something you can go back and play with now? Excellent. It's what we love to hear. All right, we'll open it up for questions at this point. For those of you that have it, there are microphones there. For those of you leaving, please try to do it somewhat quietly. Answer some folks. Oh, one more
friend,
thing
can
we
you
want to do.
Up, for being a sport.
We want to thank our PC Smasher. Everybody thank our PC Smasher, Art.
Thank you very much.
A little sum for helping us out today.
Much appreciated.
I appreciate it.
Great stuff.
Guys, we'll be up here if you have questions. Thank you so much for coming out. Have a great rest of the day.